which is Luke, 22nd verse, starting at verse 41, 22nd chapter, 41st verse. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed,
saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him.
And he, in agony, prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow.
And said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation.
And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him.
But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?
When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword?
And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear.
And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him.
Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders, which were come unto him,
But ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves.
When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.
Oh, Father, we praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. We praise you. And we are excited that you are moving in our lives in such wonderful ways. And it is wonderful because we're here together. It's wonderful that you are with us. It's wonderful that you are going to speak to us this day. It's wonderful that we can be with you and praise your holy name. It's wonderful that you are and that you reward those who diligently seek you. It's wonderful that you have done such great things on our behalf. It's wonderful that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. It's wonderful. Thank you, Lord. I'm full of wonder because you are so wonderful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me have a seat. We wonder about having doubts about things, about praying to God for something different than the result that seems to be coming, different than what he seems to have ordained for our lives. Sometimes we feel like we're bound in a way that will not let us free. Sometimes we feel like we are so bound, but today we can confidently declare because of the blood of Christ that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have been changed. We've been made different. We are new. We are free in him. We may not always feel that we are free. We may not always act like we are free, but we recognize that we are free in Jesus. It's time for us to be free. It's time for us to live like free men and women. My dad used to tell me something all the time. He said, you can be a man in a box and be freer than a man who his mind is not right. You see, our mind should not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world tell you who you are. The world's got all kinds of opinions about what you should do and what you can do and how to do what is done and not to do this and all of that. Don't go by the world. You need to go by the very word of God. And the word of God declares that you are no longer a slave to sin. You are, if you believe, a child of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. But don't worry. It's a free gift. You can't work to earn it. You can't work to maintain it. You can't make it any better, any less. The reality is that you can only learn to receive it and to enjoy it. Do you enjoy your faith today? Do you enjoy the fact that he has changed you today? Do you recognize that fact? Sometimes it's just a matter of our thinking. Sometimes it's just a matter of us getting it. Sometimes it's a matter of us pulling out of the activity that we've been in because our thinking allowed us to go there when we shouldn't have. Our acting. We've been seduced into foolishness. Sometimes it's just stuff. Because when we know who we are and whose we are, we know we win. We're free. So let's see if we can help in this process today of thinking right. Because it would be silly to say that this is not in some ways a complex thing. Now, it's simple at its core. But there's so many things raining down in our mind, our thinking, and our feeling. So many circumstances that would influence the way that we perceive what is going on. And we really need to see things through the lens of Jesus. So we have some clarity, we can live with some strength. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, today we come wanting to honestly believe that we are no longer slaves to sin, but truly children of God, to be used by God, to glorify God, to give him joy. Help us this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. I want to look at the 22nd chapter of Luke. 22nd chapter of Luke. We're going to start at verse 39. And it's really an interesting part of the scripture. I probably say that a lot because I find most of scripture pretty interesting. You know, I mean, it's just a fact that it's fascinating. The deeper you dig, the more wonders you find. It's like digging down into a cave of wonders. In every layer, there's new treasure, and the treasure is beautiful and wondrous, and each piece of it is worth examining for a lifetime. Yet there are lifetimes of things to look at, to see, and to feel, and that's how the Word of God is. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It knows you. It knows what you're thinking. It knows what you're feeling. It knows, because it's not just an it, it's a him. It's the very thoughts of God here so that he might communicate to us. He's revealing himself. He spends a lifetime for us revealing himself to us so that we might grasp that he is and a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. He's a good God. He's a great God. He's a wondrous God. He's more than we can think of. And his word shows him to be true and honest and loving and amazing. He spoke and the worlds were brought into existence. Just think, all that is was at one time not. He spoke and it is and will be until he says it's not. He's God. Oh, I praise you, Father, that you are God. I praise you. There's none like you. And so here it is, Jesus. Jesus is gone to this place that he had gone to many times with the disciples, the specific disciples that we would come to call apostles. He'd gone there with all of them, except the one who had lagged behind, which was Judas, the one who would betray him. And Jesus, after sharing what we call the Last Supper, was now in this garden late at night. And it's not like where we have the street light on all of the corners. It's not like that. It's truly dark there. They passed over the Brook of Cedron. They've gone to a place that they go a lot, but not a lot of people knew that they went there. And in verse 39, and he came out and went as he was wont, as it was usual for him, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. So Jesus and his entourage go to this place. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Pray for the reason that you would not enter into temptation. You don't want to be tempted. You don't want this difficult situation to come upon you that can be avoided if you will go to the Father and say, Father, help me through this. Help me to go past this. He says, pray that doesn't happen to you. Pray that you don't have to deal with certain things. There are certain things that I would not choose to deal with. Haven't you had something that if you really think about it, you say, I wish I didn't have to deal with that. But you know, it's fascinating. That phrase just grabbed me. Pray that you enter not into temptation. That's a strange prayer. I listened to someone who was telling me last night, when my friend died, this person I looked up to, this person that I knew was a good person, this person who I respected and really appreciated, this person, and it shook my faith when that person died. They were young, and I prayed, heartily. I prayed with great desire. I prayed, and now hearing these preachers say that you could pray and anything you want will happen. I'm praying, and this person still died, and it shook me. Have you ever prayed for something and it kind of shook you? Have you ever prayed for something and you go, it didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen? It didn't work. This stuff doesn't work. So how did Jesus handle stuff not working? Did he lose confidence in the Father? Did he say, "Father, if you do this for me, then I'm yours"? Or did he pray a little differently? So he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Jesus, as far as I know, he's the greatest prayer in the Bible. When he prayed, things came to life. When he prayed, things died. When he prayed, limbs were healed. When he prayed, things were changed. He prayed, there was a difference. This is one who truly believed that he could ask and it would be given him. Seek and he would find. Knock and it should be open. This was a person who believed that the Father wanted to answer his prayers because he was so connected to the Father. Well, he really was. You know, he was so connected to the Father that he knew what the Father wanted, so he was praying in line with the Father's will. And what the Father wants, the Father gets. So here he is. And he says, "Father, if thou be willing." Father has a will. He wants certain things. "If you're willing, Father, remove this cup from me." What's he asking? Why would he ask something like this? The Father and the Son are one. They're not supposed to have different concepts of things. But Jesus says, "I'm the one that's got to go through this. Father, is there another way? Is there another way? Father, is it possible that we could find a way to make this work that would honor you, that I wouldn't have to be beaten? Is there a way that we could go through this that I wouldn't have to be nailed to a cross? Is there some way that we could do this thing that there won't be people that spit on me and blaspheme your name? Is there a way that I don't have to wear this crown of thorns? Is there a way that we could go through this, that the whole world isn't convicted because of their part in sending me to the cross? Is there a way that I don't have to gasp for breath for hours upon hours upon hours, yet still be able to save mankind? Is there another way? Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, this will that you have. There are things that you have that I know your will. I know that this is coming. I know it has to happen. I know that my spouse will die one day. I know that my children will die one day. I know that there will be disasters. There will be pain. There will be hurt. I know this kind of stuff. Lord, is there a way that we can avoid this thing? Nevertheless, Father, not your will. No, not my will. No, thank you for catching me. I'm looking. They didn't catch that. Not my will, but thine will. Does it chip away at your belief, at the strength of your devotion to God, when His will seems to be different than your will? Does it hurt when your loved one dies? Hurt to the point that you don't want to believe anymore? Does it hurt when you don't get your way? Even if that way seems good to you, you know, you don't get your way in a particular instance. Are you so upset that you no longer believe in God, or you have to rewrite the scriptures? Are you at that place? You see, I want us to be people that can powerfully pray. Powerfully pray. I want us to be people that we pray and it happens. That's the kind of prayer that I see here in the Bible. But to be people that can powerfully pray and it happen, we have to be people that are powerfully, definitely, increasingly attached to the will of the Father. We have to say, not my surface idea of what should be going on, but my satisfaction, my solidarity with you, Father. I'm stuck on you. Whatever it is you choose, I say amen to. I say it even as it hurts. I say it even as I would not choose it. I say it, Lord. I say it like Jesus has to say it. He says, remove this cup from me. I don't want this. I don't want to do it. No, no. I don't want to do that. Okay. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's a funny thing when you really come to that point. You will have help in a way that you could not have imagined. You will have help. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. He was determined and he is praying hard. When's the last time you really prayed hard? That you just, I mean, it was rough. You almost felt it. You actually felt it in a physical way. Lord, please, this is what I desire. Lord, help me. Do we pray like that, or have we just gotten so polite in our prayers? Dear Lord, have your way. Just do whatever you want. I don't care very much about anything. You know, it's not very important to me. I'm just praying because, well, that's pro forma. When's the last time you prayed as if your whole world depended on it? When's the last time you actually cared about the outcome? That you think, if it doesn't go this way, it will break my heart. My very being will be altered. When did you pray like this? And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. He was in agony. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. I had to admit that I rarely, if ever, pray anything like this. I've never prayed quite like this. I've been serious about some things. I think we've all been serious about some, but I've never prayed like this. I have never looked down and saw blood on the ground because I was sweating blood because I was praying so hard. In fact, I don't know if I've ever sweated while praying. You know, I don't know that my body is tensed up and hurt because I was just so desirous of something. You know, we think we're passionate. We think we're passionate. But our lives don't show it. You know, when have you tried to grab a hold of God and say, God, help me? So he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down on the ground. He was emotionally drained. You know, by the way, that's a real thing, and it does happen. And your skin gets really sensitive. So he's in pain, real, real pain. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, they were asleep. You realize that you are about to die. And the people sitting with you fall asleep. You realize that everything that's valuable to you is at stake. And those around you fall asleep. That must have been a crushing blow in and of itself. And he says to them, why sleep ye? Why are you sleeping? Get up, arise and pray. Arise and pray. Arise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. You think things have been tough, but they are going to get really tough. And you need to be ready. Do you know, sometimes it's amazing how off kilter we get when things don't go our way. Could that be because we've not really prayed? That when something that we don't like happens, we weren't prepared for it because we weren't connected with the Father. Because if we were connected with the Father, we wouldn't be surprised and it wouldn't bother us so much. Because we believe the Father is in control. The Father knew what the election results would be or what they wouldn't be, or he knew who would die and who wouldn't die, and he knew about the tsunami, and he knew about the rain, and he knew about the storm, and he knew about this, and he knew about that, because he's a sovereign God, and his sovereign God knows about that. And if I'm connected to this sovereign God, and he's not worried about it, why should I be worried about it? You know? You ever go somewhere when you were a kid with your parents, and something weird happened? You know, you go by the lion's cage at the zoo and the lion roars. All I'd do is look up and see if daddy was worried. If daddy wasn't worried, why should I be? Because he knew that he could deal with whatever was going to happen next. Are we so close to the Father, so connected to the Father, that whatever happens, we just look to the Father and say, we okay? Is there something I need to do? We don't need to run. We don't need to holler. We don't need to look excited. We could just kind of watch it. Maybe we'll make some popcorn and watch the whole thing process. Because we're with him. And there will be those times. There are those times when you don't get your legitimate way, something that seems like it's an okay thing to want. It is an okay thing to want, yet it's not going to happen. I'm telling you, there are some okay things to want that that are not going to happen. All of us have been by a bedside where what we wanted did not happen. But what we got made us the people that we are today. They formed character in us. They formed resolve in us. They showed us what we're made of. They showed us what that person was made of. And we were able, even in our tears and our hurt and our pain, to acknowledge that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So, he says to him in verse 46, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter in temptation. And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him." One of the deepest pains that we could feel is relational pain. You ever felt betrayed? For that matter, you ever been the betrayer? And recognize that you've sunk lower than you ever thought you could possibly go. You missed it. And you have to now reconcile your image of self with what you've done. Judas couldn't do it. Judas couldn't do it at all. He felt the world calling to him and wondering what that's doing. I will be able to think again in just a moment. You feel this hurt, this pain, this challenge, this amazing thing that goes on. And Judas couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it. He went out and committed suicide. Sometimes when you realize who you really are, you really have a hard time struggling with that. But that's the beauty of this thing. When we recognize who we really are, we know we need him. Oh, wow, I'm a mess. That's horrible. Oh, wow, that's why he died. Oh, wow, he did die. I believe it. I receive what his death did for me on the cross. Oh, wow, I'm okay. Oh, wow, it doesn't matter my performance. Oh, wow, it's not about me. Oh, wow, it's about him. It's the free gift of God. And today, in the midst of my pain and sorrow, he supplies my very need. Oh, wow. How good is our God. Oh, wow, we're a part of the body of Christ. But Jesus said unto him, "Judas, betrayest thou Son of Man with a kiss?" It goes on, obviously. We're going to stop there. I love how Peter decides to smack off Malchus's ear. Can you imagine what it must have been like? Peter's like asking and saying, "Should we smite with the sword?" He's been ready for this, you know. Sometimes, do you ever just want to do something? You know, you're in this crazy situation. You just want to do something, and he swung that sword. Malchus ducked a little bit, and he took off his ear. And we get on Peter really bad about the fact that he denied Christ three times. But it was a confusing, crazy situation. They've come to take Jesus. Jesus, in other gospel accounts, you see him speak, and the guys that have come to take him fall back. And they fall back. And so Peter's thinking, oh, Jesus is fighting back. Well, I'm just going to join in the fight. I'm going to be seen on his side. So he's asking the question while he's swinging. You know, shall we use the sword, Lord? I mean, he's dead into his swing. So off pops this ear. And then Jesus leans over, picks that ear up, and puts it back. We're not fighting that way. And then they begin to bind Jesus. And Peter's like, well, I feel that way some days. What am I supposed to be doing? What's the right thing to do? The right thing is to believe in him. Believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in spite of the crazy circumstances swirling all around us, he will keep us. And when your heart and mind are converted, changed, settled, you'll be able to do great things, showing the goodness and grace of our God. That's because you've been brought into the body of Christ. The body of Christ. We will symbolize you being a part of the body of Christ, believing that you are a part of this body, that by this miraculous thing, when you believe that Jesus Christ was Lord and you receive that, You didn't just stop where the devil stopped saying, that's Jesus. You believed him and you received him and you said, this is my God. When you believe that and you realize that for a lifetime you are submitted to this thing of sanctification where you are being changed from glory to glory every time you hear the word of God, to glory every time you know that Jesus is Lord, to glory every time you read his word, to glory every time you are changed, every day you are changed, you're being made better, you're being made better, you're being made stronger when you know that. This is what we're remembering, that we are a part of the body of Christ. Are you a part of the body of Christ today? Today you might want to bow your head with me. Dear Father, thank you that Jesus died on the cross so that I might be a part of the body of Christ. Thank you for cleansing me, for changing me, for helping me. Thank you. I don't even know what all those words mean, but I know that I'm yours and you are mine. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today, if God is moving in your heart, during the first verse or two of this song, if you want to come forward and pray at the altar, to pray like it means something, you're welcome to do that. Sometimes people need that physical reminder that God is moving. And so, and then after that, I'm going to pass out the elements for us to partake of the Lord's Supper. I must